Good morning. Welcome to University United Methodist Church. My name's Katie Flynn, and I'll be helping lead the service this morning. Whatever brings you here today, custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. We'd like to especially welcome newcomers. We hope that the welcome team finds you somewhere out there. But I know that Barbara Fote, who is the lead of the welcome team, is not with us this morning, so I'm hoping other people step up. Otherwise, please know that you are welcome. We hope that you pick up one of the welcome pamphlets in the back of the church. You should have gotten one of these when you walked in this morning. It's an abbreviated order in the bulletin, and most of the stuff will appear on the screen. If you'd like a more detailed version, there's a QR code that's found right in here, and if you have an iPhone, you can check that out. And you'll get a more complete order of worship. Also in this packet, you'll find this yellow slip. You can fill out your name, your address, and your contact information if you're new, and drop it in the offering plate just so that we can welcome you properly. On the opposite side, you'll find a spot for a prayer request. If you want to fill that out, the ushers will collect them later on in the service, and we'll share them during prayer time. Miscellaneous stuff. If you are in need of restrooms or childcare, you can find both through this door, or an usher would be glad to help you with that. This is just a reminder, we have a safe sanctuary policy, so children should always be accompanied by an adult. And now let us continue our time of worship.
Good morning. I am Pastor Alicia Wood. I am the pastor here, and I am so honored to be here today and be your pastor, and I'd like to send out a warm welcome to each and every one of you. Our worship theme is Practice Resurrection. Resurrection means to come to life in a new way in the name of Jesus. As we are reborn, our souls are filled, and the light of God spills over from our lives into the lives of others. Today, we are not only talking about being reborn or resurrected into new life, we are making the point that there are no limits to what we can accomplish in our lives. Our new life can give us strength to fight addiction, focus to finish our schooling, clarity to make relationship decisions, and the faith to follow big dreams. Today we will be learning about a dream that started here in this church and has blossomed across the city and beyond. This past Monday was the final day of the first phase of the Poor People's Campaign Direct Action in Albany, and four of us were there in Albany, and yesterday was the national Direct Action, and that was in Washington, D.C., and there were many who came from here and went down to D.C., and I can't wait to hear what happened. I bring this up because our theme song for this series is Somebody's Hurting My People, and this is a song that comes out of the Poor People's Campaign.
Somebody's hurting my people, and it's gone on. Yes, it's gone on. I tell you, it's gone on. Somebody's hurting my people, and it's gone on. And we won't be silent anymore. And we won't be silent anymore. And we won't be silent anymore.
Good morning. My name is Lee Potter, and I'll be the liturgist this morning. We can't be silent anymore. Somebody is hurting our people. How can we keep from singing? Please stand in body or spirit and join in today's call to worship. You call us yours, O God. So here we are, gathered, trusting you will nourish us on this journey. In a world that is aching, we bring our weary hearts, longing for a glimpse of hope. You call us to imagine alternative ways of living and loving, creating a world where all life flourishes. Even though we sometimes struggle to believe that change is possible, you, O God, always show up for us. Your faithfulness and abiding presence extends through the ages, connecting us to the saints who have gone before us and those who have yet to come, weaving our lives together through the work of liberation. Amen. We have shown up, O God. Teach us what to do next. Please remain standing and sing hymn number 581, or on the screen. If you choose to use the hymnal, we are skipping verse 3. The number is 581, Lord, whose love through humble service.
Lord, whose love through humble service for the wage of human need, who upon the cross of Achan offered mercy's perfect deed. We, your servants, bring no worship, not a voice alone but heart, consecrating every gift that you impart. Still your children wander homeless, still the hungry cry for bread, still the captive long for freedom, still in grief we mourn our dead. As a Lord, your deep compassion heals the sick and free the soul. Use the love your spirit kindles still to save and make us whole. Call by worship to your service, forth in your dear name we go. To the child, you love and giving deeds to show. Hope and help us in our service. Comfort, aid, and peace we give. That your servants, Lord, in freedom, may your mercy know and
in a moment, we will greet one another and share Christ's peace. When you hear the music, that will be your signal to head back to your seats as the children come forward for children's time. Now, take a moment and share your love of Christ with those around you with a handshake, a fist bump, a high five.
Will the children come forward as they're comfortable, and let's sing them forward with God is Speaking. Good morning. Let's scoot this way. Let's come this way so that we can all be like here. I have a big question for you once you get in your spot. Come on over. You can sit right here with me. Who's way over there? Come on over. Come on over. Oh, more. Yay. Come on over. Will you come over? I won't bite, I promise. Come on over. All right. I have a big question for you. Where's my microphone? Because I can't wait to hear the answers. You ready? If you could do anything and there was no way that you could fail at doing this, what would you do?
Pray God.
Pray to God. All right. What else? What would you do?
Be a billionaire.
Be a millionaire. All right. What else? What else would you do? Now, I'm not asking what your job would be, but you didn't tell me a job. You just said you'd be a millionaire. Maybe you're going to win the lottery. What would you do? I know you have big dreams up here. What would your big dream be? I'm going to tell you a big dream that my daughter had when she was 5. And maybe it'll spark some ideas for you. My daughter wanted to open a store called Check Off. You know how when you go to the store and you have a list, and when you get finished something on your list, you check it off or you cross it out? She wanted to open a store called Check Off. But the thing with the store and Check Off, or the thing with Check Off was everything was free. So there were free clothes and free food. And there was free pet food and free pets, which I said that might not be a good idea, but she really wanted to be able to give pets away. So what, do you have any big dreams like this? Is there something big that you might be dreaming about? What's that? Can you hold it? Because I can't reach you. I thought you raised your hand. Oh, she didn't. All right, what's this?
I want to become a doctor.
You
want to
be a doctor. Wonderful. And you can heal the sick. You can help the sick, right? That's excellent. You have one? Oh, boy. All right.
To be a doctor.
You want to be a doctor, too? Nice. Wonderful. Any other big dreams up here? Oh, what's your big dream?
I want to be a soccer player.
Oh, a soccer player, yeah, nice. You have one? Okay.
A vet.
You want to be a vet and help animals? Nice. Oh, you have one? You don't, you do? Yes, okay.
Basketball.
You want to be a basketball player or coach?
Basketball.
Basketball, all right. All right. Well, we have a lot of big dreams. A lot of big dreams. And you know what? That's what we are talking about today. We're talking about how it's okay to dream big and to trust in God and pray to God that these big things will happen. Because there's a lot of work to be done. And everything you said here are things that you can do and be to help God's people, help all people. So will you pray with me while we dream big? Will you pray with me? All right. Let's pray. Loving God, we are so grateful for children. We are grateful that they have big dreams, and we are grateful that they are praying to you and with you that you may help them in whatever dreams so that they can help your people. Be with each of them that they know that the sky is the limit when they trust in you, and let them know that their church family is 110% behind them. And we pray this in your many names. Amen. Amen. All right, so you can go sit with whoever brought you today, all right? Thanks for talking with me today. Good morning again. I love hearing the voice of children. There are many stories about University United Methodist Church and the 150 years we have spent on this corner. Stories about pastors, missionaries, hymnists, educators, and bishops who have come from this place. Stories about big ideas and programs that have bubbled up from the love and concern of our people for those with whom we share this city and this world. Today we will hear one story from our history. We will tell this story not to glorify the past, but to call us into the future, to give us the courage necessary to dream big, to understand that with God there are indeed no limits. Today we dream, we pray, that we will be open and ready to recognize God's nudging us into the next big thing. As we sing ourselves into our prayer time with the words from the Poor People's Campaign, the ushers will collect our prayer requests on the yellow slips.
Somebody's hurting my people, and it's gone on
far too long.
Yes, it's gone on. I tell you, it's gone on. Somebody's hurting our people, and it's gone on. And we won't be silent anymore. And we won't be silent anymore. And we won't be silent anymore.
As we finish collecting our prayers from the community, let us gather ourselves in an attitude of prayer. Let us settle ourselves into our seats and breathe in and breathe out, ready for the Holy Spirit. Dear God, yes, from Leslie, we have named people, places, and situations that are on our hearts today. Still more too deep for speech and remains unspoken. We hold these concerns for each other and offer it all up to you. God, in your mercy.
We will have a period of silent prayer followed by the Lord's Prayer. Speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever language or way that you feel closest to God. As we begin a time of silent prayer, get comfortable in your seat. Sit tall and take a deep breath. Breathe in and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. Please join me now in the prayer Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God's kingdom comes as we practice resurrection each day. We each have a voice and a life to work for peace. Please stand in body or spirit and join in singing Whatever You Do, displayed on the screen.
Whatever you do to the least one of these, I tell you in truth that you do unto me. For Jesus, you taught us, may we learn of you, that whenever we others, we also when poor waiting children pray home.
Please be seated. Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 30 to 32 and 35 to 41. If you're using the Bible pew, it will be on page 52 of the New Testament section. We hear again Jesus' parable of the mustard seed, as we did last Sunday. Then, later that evening, after Jesus had finished teaching, he got into a boat with his disciples, and things went from bad to worse. Here are these words now from the Gospel of Mark. "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like?" asked Jesus. "What parable shall we use to explain it?" "It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in the shade." On the evening of that same day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they left the crowd. The disciples got into the boat in which Jesus was already sitting, and they took him with them. Other boats were there too. Suddenly a strong wind blew up, and the waves began to spill over into the boat so that it was about to fill with water. Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping with his head on a pillow. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind, "Be quiet." And he said to the waves, "Be still." The wind died down and there was a great calm. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you frightened? Do you still have no faith?" But they were terribly afraid and began to say to one another, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word and wisdom of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I'm Ted Finlayson-Schuler. I'm the chair of the worship team. If you haven't seen me around much, it's because I spend most of my time up in the balcony with the choir and technology. As Pastor Alicia and I were planning this worship series on practicing resurrection, and most specifically this week's theme of no limits, we thought, wow, we need to talk about Ken Craig and housing visions. Our next thought was, let's see if Hal Garman, our pastor emeritus, would come back and help frame the birthing of this mission that Ken has carried out. I asked Pastor Alicia if I could have the honor of introducing Hal and Ken this morning. I wanted to do this because I believe that stories are powerful, and I wanted to tell a little bit of the history that goes along with their story. My mom was the chair of the staff parish relations committee when Hal was assigned to University Church, so I have a little inside information in the form of her journals. Hal was interviewed and approved by staff parish on April 4th, met with church leaders on May 5th, moved into the parsonage on June 23rd, and led worship for the first time on July 7th. My mom's journal says, "What a change!" Exclamation point. University Church was not a good place in 1981. Tensions in the congregation had led to a call for a pastoral change. We were worshiping in Fellowship Hall in the winter because we could no longer afford to heat the sanctuary. There was no appreciable endowment or reserve funds, so we were operating basically on a cash basis. Some even suggested Hal was sent to University Church to close the doors. Mary Klepper, who's sitting over here, was the chair of trustees, and sometimes I found her out shoveling the walk. That's where we were in 1981. Fortunately, Hal never got the message. Hal looked around the church and saw the incredible talent that existed in the congregation. He put the talent he found to work. He understood the need to address finances and offered people an opportunity to be part of the future of University Church. The church membership had largely moved out of the neighborhood of the church, but Hal encouraged us to become part of the neighborhood again. Hal had two special talents, listening and inviting. As he visited with various members of his new congregation, he listened to their ideas and dreams. He began to see how some of these dreams might fit together, and he gave permission for ideas to be tried out. We coined the phrase bubble-up theology to describe how ideas were bubbling up out of these conversations into meaningful programs. But remember, the other talent that Hal had was inviting. While these ideas bubbled up for many people, Hal often became a co-conspirator. And because of the conversations he had initiated, Hal often had ideas about who to ask to help get a new idea off the ground. When Hal asked you if you had a minute, or even worse, could we get together for lunch, you knew something was brewing. Today we're honoring one of those people that Hal invited. Ken Craig, a successful executive, innocently showed up at University Church in the mid-1980s, and an invitation from Hal changed his life. $400 million worth of construction projects later, I think it's safe to say that not only Ken's life was changed, but many other people's as well. This is a project that many of us drove by on our way to church today.
Syracuse is now on track toward getting veterans off the streets and into the homes they deserve. Friday, Van Curen Square was officially unveiled. The new $11.5 million facility was built through a partnership between the VA, the Public Housing Authority, and Housing Visions Incorporated.
Well, it's my turn. Ted, thank you for that very kind introduction. People still are wondering when I ask them for lunch, what's up? I learned that. I practiced it here, so I learned it very well, and it stayed in my DNA. But on a more serious side, we feel thankful that you've invited us. Jan and I are both grateful to this congregation. It means a lot to us. And we're grateful to Alicia for asking us to come, and especially to celebrate Ken Craig's retirement. But I don't think he's retired. I think this is in his DNA, just like it's stuck in mine. And you can call that whatever you want to call it in spiritual terms, but that's what's going on. Alicia asked me to just tell a little bit about how this all got started. And Ted has kind of set the framework for this. Ken told me that he looked in the Yellow Pages when he moved from Rochester to find a church. And he picked this one out of the Yellow Pages almost at random, I gather. And that was a very wonderful thing. Before he came along and did that, something you need to remember, that there was the DNA or the soul or the spirit of this church was had something in it, ingrained in it, that was like the mustard seed. And it sold an idea, and it would grow and grow and grow. And Norman Vincent Peale was pastor here from 1927 to 1932. And if you read his books back there in the room, you'll find that this is where the seeds of positive thinking were sown. And if you fast forward a few more decades, you will find it alive again in Ken Taylor, Ellen's father, Stephen's grandfather. And Ken was just absolutely wonderful because he picked this up, Ted has described, and remembering that one of his grandchildren had said, "I can do it." And he started saying, "We can do it." I see heads nodding, and it started to take hold. It was contagious in the congregation. We can do it. And it wasn't just set the finances so we could do things and survive and make it and thrive. but it was all the many, many projects that just kind of bubbled up. And the United Methodist Reporter down in Dallas heard about it, and they came up to see what the heck was going on here. And lo and behold, they sat down with 20 of you in the chapel room on Saturday afternoon, and they stayed over Sunday to see if it was all true. And they went back to Dallas, and they wrote this article in the National United Methodist Reporter, Bubble Up Theology in Syracuse. And that's where the bubble up came from. That was in the late 80s. And that kind of, I took a lot of ribbing for that at the conference and places. But it worked. And it was what University Church really was. It was the Spirit of God bubbling up. It was because we had the faith like the mustard seed, and because you were willing to work hard and to be persistent and have faith in the idea and faith in ourselves, we believed in ourselves that we could do it with God's help. And I used to say that the Holy Spirit was, I called it messing around with us on Sunday mornings. It was so wonderful. Anyhow, Ken came up to me. We were standing right over there by that window after church one Sunday. And he said, I want to do something about the housing in this neighborhood. And I said, well, let's see if we can get Wynn Gaskin to have lunch with us. And we met over to Genesee Inn a few days later. And I asked them if they would put together a task force, go out and get people in the neighborhood and put together a housing task force and find out what the real situation was and what the real needs were and what the real possibilities were. Well, they didn't say much to me for several months, but I knew they were working because I kept hearing about it. They came back finally with the task force and said, okay, we've got two major insights from this research. One, there's a tremendous need for large apartments for large, low-income families that are affordable and clean and decent and safe. And two, we checked with the people downtown who are connected with the feds. There are no more housing programs. They've all dried up. This is toward the end of the 80s. And so I said, well, let's go up and see Chancellor Eggers up at SU. We went up. He was interested in hearing what they had to say. And he said, you know, we're building dormitories and we're putting students in out of the community housing off campus, onto campus. And he said, at 5 students per house, if we take 100 students off of East Genesee Street, that's 20 vacant buildings down there. So he knew what we were talking about and worried about and wanting to work with. He said, I don't know what to do, but he says, I'll get a couple of faculty from the Maxwell School over if you come back next week. So we went back the next week, and they listened intently to Ken and Wynn. And then they said, well, come back. We'll do a little research. We go back a week later, all of this in the chancellor's office with him there. And they said, well, the good news is there's one housing program left, and that's low-income housing tax credits. Well, knowing Ken, as I know him now, that was all he had to hear. And he, on the way down, he asked if he could have office space in the church, and then he proceeded to quit his job with Conjol and Company, and he spent 2 years in the back room here. He had to move his computer from room to room because we didn't have room always. And he designed and developed a way to implement and finance this thing with private investment and so that there could be real affordable rents and quality buildings and quality housing and the people could have the possibility of hope for the first time in their lives. There was a woman who came by the breakfast this morning who had to move out of her house with her family because the landlord had failed to make the mortgage payment and they foreclosed and moved everybody out. She was living in a tent. That's the best this community could do, a tent. Fortunately, it's headed into the summer and it'll be a little warm. But this is a need, a serious need, and Ken has made a tremendous contribution to it. Housing Visions, he'll tell us a little more, I hope. Housing Visions, he gave me a sheet of paper last night, has done 50 projects in 16 cities in upstate New York and Pennsylvania. They have, as Ted, I think, read the figure, a capital investment of $414 million. The headquarters is right over here on East Fayette Street. And let's see, they had, let's see if I can find it on the sheet. They have 387 buildings, separate buildings. They have 1,628 units. And if you multiply that by the average size of the families, it's between 4,000 and 5,000 people who have decent, affordable housing. Not only that, they're using the profits from the construction company to hire people to enable people to get out of poverty. And he told me last year when we saw him in Albany that he had actually gotten 200 people who'd held jobs for over a year. And I assume that's a higher figure now. And it just keeps going and going and going. And he has a crew of almost 100 people working over there that he leaves. They're talented. They've been at it for 10 years. They know how to run the business, and they're going to do it and do it very, very well. And their next project is going to be called the Winston Gaskin Homes. It's going to be a redo of all the houses on East Genesee Street that they did 25 years ago. And this will be a project in honor of Win Gaskin. He was the second president of the board. I was the first, I believe. And last summer we met with Greg Street and Ken. Greg was the first investor, and he's very proud of it. And I wish he could have been here this morning, because tell those of you who don't know him, he's a great guy and very committed to what Ken is doing. And we are just so proud. And so it's just such an honor to be here with you and to set this up so you can tell your story here. And we're just want to celebrate your retirement. And we know you'll keep on going, that you're not going to stop.
Well, I hope you get the picture from what both Ted and from what Hal said, that it wasn't just me. I was only a small part of this. If I had not picked this particular church out of the Yellow Pages, Housing Visions would never have started, okay? And if Hal had not been the pastor at that time, Housing Visions would never have started. So thank you, Hal. I mean, you took a lot of the wind out of my sails by saying what we've already accomplished, but we wouldn't have not have accomplished any of this if we hadn't started here at University Methodist Church. And if it hadn't been Hal with his bubble-up theology that got Wynn and me together to start this effort. And it wasn't just Hal's getting us together, but it's also his leadership, his advice, his knowledge of the people in the area, because I was new to Syracuse. I did not know a lot of hardly any of the people in the Syracuse area. He knew everyone. And we met with the people we needed to meet, and several people from the congregation actually became the first investors, as Hal's already mentioned. The initial board of directors that we recruited, which included a total of 30 people, five of those people were members of this church. So the church was very, very heavily involved right from the very beginning. And it would never have started if I hadn't joined this particular church and you hadn't been the pastor here, Hal. And frankly, I think my faith has grown a lot through being a member of this church. But if it hadn't been for my faith at the start, I could never have taken the risk of quitting my job to start something like this without any idea as to whether we were going to have enough money to pay me. And we didn't have enough money to pay me for some time. And it's also because of my belief in a very loving God. I do really firmly believe that God wants to give direction, wants to give guidance to every one of us. It's just that we often don't listen to him. So, I mean, he's there to give us any guidance. And if any new ideas are bubbling up, God will help us. You know, God helps us do all of these things. It's really the glory belongs with him. One thing I would like to pass on is to, you know, Hal's already mentioned how we've actually recruited already $414 million of investment that's been committed to what Housing Visions is doing. Not all those buildings are built yet. Some of those buildings are underway now, and some of those buildings will be underway over the next year, including the Winston-Gaskin project. That will start probably late this year, early next year. But we already have the funding committed for it, okay? For a total of 387 buildings, a total of over 1,600 residential units in 16 different either cities or villages across New York State and Pennsylvania. One thing I'd like to pass on that we have learned at Housing Visions that I think would be useful for any new things that that bubble up out of this church. Two things I'll pass on. One is the company values that we've instilled early on in the company and have guided us ever since. And we've got some of the leadership from Housing Visions here today, and I know they'll continue with these values. It's quality, responsibility, integrity, and compassion. And I think those values, that's what guides Housing Visions, and it's very important, you know, to us, and I would hope to any future projects. The other thing I'd like to pass on is the fact that at the outset, we recruited a very diverse board of directors. We stipulated in the bylaws the majority of the board had to be people living in the neighborhoods that we were going to affect. We also stipulated in the bylaws, and this is still in the bylaws today, that some of the seats on the board were reserved for people who are residing in the buildings that we were constructing. But we also recognized the need to bring in professional people, bring in people with knowledge, bring in people with experience at different income levels to help us. So it was a very diverse board at the outset, and it's a very diverse staff that we've built up. It's diverse racially, it's diverse in economic, in income levels, it's diverse in religious faiths, and it's diverse in politics. I can tell you that there are both Democrats and both Republicans on the board of directors, and there are both Democrats and Republicans on our staff, and they work together with respect. Unlike what you often see in Washington and elsewhere, I think that's very important to work together no matter what your differences are in beliefs, to work together with respect and find out the solutions, develop those solutions to whatever problems you're encountering. But again, I want to thank you, Hal, and thank this church for being such a strong part of helping Housing Visions get started and continuing today. So thank you. Thank you.
So I'm a little starstruck up here. I don't know if anyone else can see that in me. But I am just so honored that both of you are here. And Ken, thank you so much for sharing your dream with us today. I mean, we have known about it, but maybe not all of us have known about this. And Hal, thank you for traveling so far to be a part of this and for honoring Ken and his retirement. And I know that it's not the end for either of you. I know that. I totally believe that there's something else that's going to bubble up in you, Ken. I don't know if that's going to be. I've heard some things at your retirement dinner that might come up. But so we brought this today, and we wanted to talk to all of you about this today and let you know about this really beautiful thing that came out of this congregation, because this is something that we've done before. And we can do it again. So please know that if anything is bubbling up in you that can help or work with God's people, people inside this church or people outside this church, come to me or our lay leader, Barb Nunn, and tell us about what God is nudging us to do next. Because when God is with us, the sky is the limit, and we can dream big. So know that this is just the beginning for our congregation. And even though we're celebrating 150 years, I plan on it being here another 150, being an integral part of this community. And I want to have Ken have the last word, and it's on a video, so you don't have to say anything else.
Don't be afraid to follow your heart.
Thank you.
So on the first, third, and fifth Sundays of every month, I host the bagel breakfast, which is opposite Sundays as the community breakfast, and I get to talk to a lot of the community folks that come. And last week, someone shared with me that the reason they chose to come to this church, and they will be joining in a few weeks, is because this church helps so many people. And I'm so proud to say that we've helped at least 1,600 people with the people that Ken Craig has helped house. So that's really special, and I'm so glad that I got to hear everything that we heard today. It's new information to me, even though I've been around for several years. So thank you, Ken. And Hal. As our worship service ends, our service to God's community begins. There are always many things happening at University Church, so I'm just going to highlight a few. First, and most important, right after worship today, we're going to have a reception celebrating Ken and Housing Visions, so please join us in Pettengill for a few snacks and some good conversation. Second, in your bulletin, you'll find this handout about real or fake news. If you're not busy on 26th, that's Tuesday, I believe, please join us. It's supposed to be really informative, and there's snacks there, too. I always focus on the food. Last thing I want to point out, since it's the summer, a lot of people are on vacation during Sunday service and all the other times during the week, but we just want to point out that there is a Thursday service, worship service, available to everyone at 6 o'clock in the gathering room. So if you're not here for Sunday service, please join us on Thursday. In order to keep practicing resurrection at this time, in this place, we need the ministries funded. We need to keep the ministries funded, just as we've been doing for the past 150 years. If you're a visitor, please know that you're our guest today, and we don't expect a contribution from you. The ushers will collect their offering as Martha Sutter and Dennis Triggs bless us with song. And don't forget to pass your attendance slips to the ushers as they collect the offering.
Bless this house, O Lord, we pray. Make it safe by night and day. Bless these walls so firm and stout, keeping want and trouble out. Bless the roof and chimneys tall, let thy peace lie over all. Bless this door that it may prove ever open to joy and love. Bless these windows shining bright, letting in God's heavenly light. Bless the hearth ablazing there, with smoke ascending like a prayer. Bless the folk who dwell within, keep them pure and free from sin. Bless us all that we
Please remain standing and join in the unison prayer of dedication. Gracious God, your love is extravagant, your forgiveness is unceasing, your commitment to showing up is unwavering. May our own hearts overflow with the same graciousness towards one another. Receive our offerings as a sign of gratitude for all we have received and a symbol of our commitment to show up for one another with all we have and all we are. Amen. Here we are, Lord, and we do hold your people in our hearts. Please remain standing and join in singing Here I Am, Lord, displayed on the screen, or number 593 in the hymnal, verses 1 and 3. We have to give Dennis a minute to get up there. I can see him. That's the wrong hymn. That's the wrong tune. It says 593 here. Okay. There we go.
I always cry with that song because I heard that song when I was 18 years old, and I knew that God had got me then and there, And every time I hear it, I cry. So, from that, we go to a very different kind of benediction, and I need your help. I'm going to wrap the Poor People's Campaign benediction. So can you help me? All right, great. May we, who believe in community, go forth and stand against poverty from NYC to Wilkes-Barre, Southside and Northside too, across the world. We demand, let justice ring. As the poor rise up, let justice ring. As we take a stand, let justice ring. As we proclaim liberty throughout all the land. We're all God's family. You, and me. Let justice ring. Let justice ring. Amen.